Amen. Praise the Lord. Great singing tonight. Let's turn to Jude, verse 6. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Jude, verse 6, and Romans chapter 12. And verse 1. Romans 12, 1. And let's go through this again.
Three times today. Good. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2.
It's so good to serve the Lord.
We gladly offer our lives a willing sacrifice for Him. Amen. And Brother Beery, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Okay, then Jude verse 6. Jude verse 6. We've been looking at a destiny of opposites. This morning we saw in hell there is no water forever. But in heaven there is a river of pure water of life, clear as crystal forever. Then we looked at number 2. In hell there is only pain and torment forever. But in heaven there is no pain forever. We're on number 3 then tonight. In hell, there is no light forever. Jude verse 6. And angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under what? Darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Then if you notice in verse 12, Jude verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved what? The blackness of darkness. How long? Forever. So hell is shown to be the blackness of darkness forever. Notice also in Matthew chapter 8. So what a contrast between heaven and hell. Hell, there's never going to be light, ever. But in heaven, there's never going to be night. But Matthew 8, verse 11, And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer what? Darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you think about it. You know, in countries where there's more darkness, there's more depression, like in Greenland up there, Brother Shell says there's a lot of trouble with alcoholism and suicide, even of young people in Greenland. They have to endure a couple months of darkness a year where the sun never comes above the horizon. Years ago, we had a missionary in Ireland, and he said that it's foggy a lot there and gloomy, cloudy. And he said alcoholism is really bad there. People are depressed. And so, but just imagine hell. It's never going to be light. Ever. Can you imagine what that would be to be thrust into darkness forever and ever and ever? But the good news is that a person doesn't have to go there. The person will get saved. Notice in Revelation 21, the good news is there is a place where it's never going to be night again. In Revelation 21, verse 21, And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So, no worries about skin cancers, sunscreen, hats trying to keep us from getting burned in the sun. None of that. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be what? No night there. So hell is a place where there's no light ever. Heaven is a place where there's going to be no night ever again. What a contrast. Why would anyone then choose darkness? Well, notice with me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Jesus told us why people do not want to get born again. In John chapter 3, and let's pick up in, let's start in verse 16, John 3, 16. For God, what? So loved the world that He, what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in Him should not, what? Perish, but have, what? Everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on Him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that what? Light is come into the world, and men loved what? darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to what? The light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Jesus told Nicodemus, that's who he was talking to, he told him why people will not be born again. It's because they love their darkness so much. But this morning we saw the pleasures of sin are but for what? A season, just a short time. How could anyone be foolish enough to trade the fleeting pleasures of this life for an eternal hell of darkness? How sad. How utterly sad. Well, God doesn't want them to, but you know what? He doesn't force us to go against our will. So that's number three. In hell, there is no light forever. In heaven, there is no night forever. Total opposites. Number four, in hell, there is wailing forever. Wailing forever. Notice in Matthew 13. I had to spend a night in a hospital room in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with an elderly man who had the shingles, and he wailed and moaned all night long. I can't imagine what it would be like going to hell. Not only the torment, but the wailing that the Bible talks about in hell. In Matthew 13, verse 41, the Bible says the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into what? A furnace of fire. There shall be what? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. We talked this morning about, you know, when you are in extreme pain, it's hard not to clench or gnash your teeth, isn't it? It's just, I mean, sometimes in old times we hear that they, when they were trying to maybe remove a bullet from someone that was shot and had no anesthetic, they just put a rag in their mouth and let them bite down on it. I mean, it's just hard when you're in extreme pain not to clench your teeth. And that's what hell is pictured as, just wailing and gnashing of teeth. Just a horrible, horrible thing. Notice also in verse 49, Matthew 13, 49. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be what? Wailing and gnashing of teeth. But in heaven, the opposite. I mean, how would you like to just... How many of you have ever heard a coyote's wail? It's weird, isn't it? It's like, it sounds like an injured animal. It sounds like an animal that's just crying. How would you like to listen to that forever? Just wailing. But in heaven, notice in Revelation 15, in heaven, they're singing and music forever. Revelation 15 in verse 2. Revelation 15, 2. What a contrast. How would you like to come to church and instead of going through three or four or five songs, listen to wailing for that period of time? Wouldn't that be horrible? That would be horrible. Revelation 15, 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Verse 3, and they sing what? The song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of who? Of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. So, what a contrast. Hell is a place of wailing, wailing and gnashing of teeth. Heaven is a place of singing and music. And we could look at many verses, but of harpers harping with their harps. Just beautiful music, beautiful singing. But hell is a place of wailing forever and ever. Number five, in hell there is crying. When we just talked about wailing, and sometimes wailing might be a type of crying, but in Matthew 8, in hell there is crying, weeping forever. Matthew 8:11. What a contrast to heaven. Just the exact opposite. Matthew 8 and verse 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know how well you do when people around you are crying, but it makes me choked up many times when people are crying. It's sad. Even when Jesus saw the great grief of people when Lazarus died, he wept. John 11:35. Jesus wept. Notice in Matthew 24:50. The Bible says, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be what? Weeping and gnashing of teeth. So in hell, there is going to be weeping forever. Just wailing and moaning and crying forever and ever and ever. Isn't it sad when you walk into a nursing home and someone is crying or kind of wailing? Just sometimes it's, help! Help! Can you imagine what hell is going to be like? Weeping and wailing and crying. But heaven, notice in Revelation 21:4, heaven is the exact opposite. There will never be any crying anymore in heaven. No wailing. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all what? Tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor what?
Crying.
Neither shall there be any more pain. We saw that this morning. For the former things are what? Passed away. No more crying. No more weeping. But in hell, constant crying, weeping, and wailing. What a stark contrast. Who would want to go to hell? Only people that oppose themselves. God's giving them a chance to be saved today. Well, number six, in hell, there are bad memories forever. In hell, there are bad memories forever. Notice in Luke 16. Now, when you're young, you might not think about memories as much because you're young. And you're still making a lot of memories. And so you're looking ahead. But the older a person gets, the more that person thinks back. Because you, as you age, you can't always do all the things that you used to be able to do. So some of you are talking about a long bike ride coming up this week. So as you age, you might think back about, oh yeah, I rode a bike here or there or did this or that in years gone by. So you think of hell and the memories, bad memories forever. Luke 16:25. So here the rich man is in hell and he's crying out to Abraham. But Abraham said, son, what? Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise, Lazarus' evil things. But now he is what? Comforted, and thou art what?
Tormented.
So he said, son, remember. Son, remember. Remember what it was back like back on earth. How you just lived like a party life all the time. And remember that poor man, Lazarus, out at your gate. Remember that? Remember? Well, verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. No one can go from heaven to hell to help anyone. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And no one can go from hell to heaven. Just the memories, the bad memories forever and ever and ever. But you know what? In heaven, there's going to come a point where there are no bad memories forever. Notice in Isaiah 65:16. So in hell, there are only bad memories forever and ever and ever. How many of you have some things you wish you could forget? Yeah. Can you imagine going through eternity in a hopeless situation, constantly remembering your faults and failures? Well, there's coming a day, Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the what? Former troubles are what? Forgotten. And because they are hid from mine eyes. For behold, I create new what? New heavens and a new earth. And the former shall what? Not be remembered, nor what? Come into mind. Isn't it something? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. But the problem is, in these bodies, we still remember our transgressions. But someday in heaven, we're not. All these former troubles, verse 16, are going to be forgotten. Verse 17, they're not going to be remembered nor come into mind ever again. But notice the difference in hell. All those bad memories forever and ever and ever. But in heaven, all the bad memories erased. Oh, what a huge difference between heaven and hell. Number 7, in hell there is sorrow forever. Notice back in Luke 16, not far away, but Luke 16:26. And beside all this, that between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to what? My father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of what? Torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Well, just a reminder, Moses and the prophets is referring to the scriptures. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they don't listen to the Bible, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So in hell, there's sorrow. Here's this rich man in hell, and now he's thinking about his 5 brothers. He's thinking about his 5 brothers are not saved. His 5 brothers have not repented. Interesting, a man in hell uses that word. Verse 30. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will what? Repent. This rich man in hell knows now the importance of repentance, the importance of turning from sin to Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about saving oneself. I'm just talking about realizing sin is dead end, and the dead end is in hell. So I turn from that life to Jesus Christ. I'm not cleansing myself. I'm not saving myself. I'm just turning from that to Him. It's like Moses. I no longer want to follow that path. Lord, I need you. I'm asking you to save me and cleanse me. And he will. But in hell, there was that thought, my brothers are lost. The sorrow of it. In hell, there's only sorrow forever. But in heaven, notice back in Revelation 21:4. Revelation 21:4, but in heaven, there's going to be no sorrow. No sorrow. Revelation 21:4, once again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither what? Sorrow. Neither sorrow. All sorrow passed away. The Apostle Paul was thankful that he was saved, but he said he had continual sorrow in his heart over his brethren, the Jews that were not saved. And you know, at our best day as Christians and rejoicing in the Lord, there's still that sorrow in our hearts over our loved ones that are not saved yet. So that sorrow. But not in heaven, no sorrow. Number 8, in hell, there is no comfort forever. No comfort forever. Back in Luke 16:24. Luke 16:24. Once again, the rich man, he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is what? Comforted. And thou art what? Tormented. There's no comfort in hell. Isn't it wonderful as Christians we can go to the Lord for comfort? But in hell, the lost, there's no comfort, only torment. But in heaven, it says here in verse 25, the last part of the verse, referring to Lazarus, said, likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is what? Comforted, and thou art tormented. So heaven is a place of comfort. When the beggar, Lazarus, goes to heaven, in verse 22, he rests in Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort. Number 9, in hell, there is a second death forever. Notice in Revelation 20, verse 14. Oh, so many times people say of people who suffer a painful death, they say, finally, his pain is over. And they're thinking, death, now he can just rest. No, no. For an unsaved person, there's no rest. Day and night, they're in torment. But they're going to be resurrected. That physical body is going to be resurrected. Revelation 20, verse 14. And I saw the dead. Excuse me. Let's start in verse 12. I'm sorry. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? The second death. There's no rest for a lost person. And they're going to be physically resurrected. This is the great white throne judgment. They're going to be physically resurrected to a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Notice also in Revelation chapter 14, Revelation 14 in verse 9. Revelation 14:9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be what? Tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up, how long? Forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. A second death forever. We could look in Mark chapter 9. Let's just go there rather than talk about it. I'll let you look at it. In Mark chapter 9, you think about the end of the loss. It's a second death forever and ever. Mark 9 here. And let's go to verse 43. Mark 9:43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go where? Into hell. Into the fire that what? Never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This is repeated three times. The worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And as mentioned many times, when you see a carcass of an animal alongside the road, the worm dieth not. The worm is still there until the flesh is consumed. The Bible says here of the lost, three times the worm dieth not. So in hell, their flesh is not consumed. It's an eternal death, the second death, the Bible calls it. But in heaven, what a contrast. Notice once again in Revelation 21:4. Revelation 21:4. In heaven, there is no death forever. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be what? No more death. No more death in heaven. There is not some future way we can mess up. It's eternal with the Lord. No death forever. Number 10, in hell, there is no rest but eternal wandering forever. Notice in Revelation 14. Revelation 14. And verse 11, we just read part of this. We'd like to read verse 11 again. Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have what? No rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Then if you go with me to Jude, Jude verse 12. Jude verse 12. How many of you have ever gotten lost? Okay. Maybe in a car. Maybe in the woods. Has anyone ever been lost overnight? No, thankfully, no. But there have been many people that have been lost for days and days in an area they're not familiar with. But look at this in Jude 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. And then what does it say? Wandering stars, to whom is reserved what? The blackness of darkness forever. This is describing hell. Wandering stars. It's depicting people in hell, talking about the blackness of darkness, but it refers to them as wandering stars. Listen, if you are in the blackness of darkness forever, it's kind of like Egypt. It was a darkness that could be felt, and that was one of the plagues that Pharaoh couldn't take. Just think about here, being in hell, wandering, lost. I mean, literally lost. We often refer to the unsaved as the lost. But just being described in hell as wandering stars, no lights, no direction, wandering stars, what an eternal lost state. But what a difference in heaven we see. Notice it once again in Revelation 14:13. So there's Revelation 14:13. So in hell there's no rest. They're referred to as wandering stars, and it says they have no rest, day nor night. Wandering stars. But in heaven, what a difference. Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which what? Die in the Lord. So we're talking about saved people. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Saith the Spirit, that they may what? Rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You see, we just saw that in the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20. Well, the lost, yeah, their works are all written in the books. They're going to be judged according to their works. Just stop and think about it. We are not saved by our works. So why is God judging lost people by their works? He brings out the books. He has all their works written in. Because they're going to get exactly what they deserve. So I see people that, you know, just say, hey, I'm going to hell. I might as well just really do it up good then. Oh, yes, and you'll regret that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Because no one gets away with anything. God is going to give exactly what people deserve. Exactly the torment they deserve. And they will wish, we already talked about the bad memories they're going to have. They will wish over and over and over and over and over again that they hadn't done this or that. But it'll be too late. But it's not too late right now. They would get saved. But in heaven, eternal rest. Verse 13, no rest from their labors. And we've already seen that when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. A place of rest and comfort. Number 11. In hell there is a resurrection of the old body to an eternal second death forever. Well, we saw this, but let's just turn back to Revelation 20. We've already mentioned it. But in hell, death and hell are going to be resurrected and then cast into the lake of fire. So in Revelation chapter 20, and let's go to verse 12 this time. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to what? Their works. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. All those people on the Titanic, you know, some of which agreed with the person who said, oh, even God couldn't sink the Titanic. Well, guess what? An iceberg did. It did sink. And right, the sea gave up the dead which were in it. All those people who are lost, who were riding the Titanic that night, their dead bodies are going to rise right out of the water at that spot, and they're going to face Almighty God. And all of the drinking and the dancing and the carousing that they were doing that night, all of it's going to be brought right back. It's all in the books next to their name. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into where? The lake of fire. This is what? The second death. It's an eternal second death. Death. But in heaven, the lost are resurrected, physically resurrected, not with a new body, with that same old body. The same God who put that body together in the beginning can put it together again, and He will, and cast it into the lake of fire with exactly the torment they deserve. But in heaven, exact opposite. Notice in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. All of us who are saved are going to receive a brand new body. Amen. Won't that be wonderful? A brand new body. I won't need glasses anymore. Amen. Since the fifth grade, I've needed glasses. I won't need glasses anymore. No aches, no pains. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So at this point, the rapture, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what is going to take place? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:49. The Bible says, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of what? The heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised what? Incorruptible. And we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on what? Immortality. Oh, what a wonderful day. If the rapture happens while we are yet alive, this body is going to instantly be transformed into a glorified body. What a wonderful thing. For those who have gone to sleep in the Lord Jesus, who have died in the Lord, we've talked about this just recently, but they are going to be resurrected first and receive their new body. And we're all going to go up and meet the Lord in the clouds and the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, what exactly is that new glorified body going to be like? Well, let's look at 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3, 1. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall what? Be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What exactly is that new body like? We don't know. But we're going to be like him, like Jesus with his glorified body. He was the first one to rise from the dead. So we've looked at today, in hell there's no water, but in heaven there's a river of pure water of life, clear as crystal. In hell, we looked at, there's only pain and torment forever, but in heaven there's no pain forever. We've looked at, in hell there is no light forever and ever, but in heaven, there's no night forever and ever. We looked at, in hell, there is wailing forever and ever. But in heaven, there's the singing and playing of music forever. We looked at, in hell, there's crying and weeping forever. But in heaven, all crying, all tears are wiped away. We've looked at, in hell, there are bad memories forever and ever. But in heaven, all those bad memories are going to be wiped away, all the memories of this life. We looked at, in hell, there is sorrow forever and ever. In heaven, there's no sorrow. God's going to take all sorrow away. We looked at, in hell, there is no comfort forever. But in heaven, there is comfort. We've looked at, in hell, there is a second death that never ends. It goes on and on and on. Death, death, but never is consumed. But in heaven, there's no death. That's passed away. We've looked at, in hell, there is no rest. But in heaven, there's eternal rest from our labors. We've looked at, in hell, there's a resurrection of that old body and then to the second death. But in heaven, at the time of the rapture, there's a resurrection of a new glorified body. What a opposite, total opposites. Why would anyone reject Christ? The one who gave his blood. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God Almighty in the flesh. He was born of a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect sinless life and he died for us. Each of us. He died on the cross. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried and rose again in victory from the grave, proving that his blood is enough to wash away our sins. Why? Why would anyone reject him? There's only one reason. Jesus gave it to Nicodemus. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. but for all of eternity they will regret following a life of sin, a life of darkness when they could have had eternal life and eternal light. And tonight, if there should be any here tonight without Christ, oh, please receive Him tonight. Because the moment you die, you're going to experience all the bad things we've seen about hell. But if you're saved, the moment you die, you're going to experience all the good things that we've seen about heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word giving us the truth. We thank You that we don't have to die and then suddenly realize we made wrong choices. Lord, You gave us the truth. You told us the differences right now between heaven and hell. I pray, Father, that no one here tonight would end up in hell, that everyone would receive the Lord Jesus Christ and escape the fire of hell and enjoy the pleasures of heaven, the rejoicing, the glory of heaven. Father, please help us. There are so many scoffers in this world who scoff, who laugh at hell. Oh, Lord, help us to realize it is real, a very real place, a very horrible place. Lord, help us to be faithful, giving out Your Word, lest people go there. Bless us, Lord, we need Your help. We have nothing in us that can convince people. We ask, Lord Jesus, that You would fill us with Thy Holy Spirit. That as we saw this morning, that we might live for You, that truly, in truth, that to live is Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. I pray that's true, that Christ is our life, from the moment we rise in the morning till the time we fall asleep. May Christ be our life. May we live for You. We pray in Jesus' name.